Good morning, New Mexico. Welcome to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're broadcasting live from the Santa Fe Baking Company, streaming on the web at ksfr.org, podcasting at santafe.radiocafe.org, thanks to Dotfoil Computer Services, and we're at facebook.com/radiocafe. We are now on day five. That is the last day of the KSFR Fall Fun Drive. This is it, ladies and gentlemen. We return to what might be known as normality tomorrow or next week of the Radio Cafe, if any of this stuff that we do can be called normal. So this is your last chance to make a donation. 428-1393 is the telephone number, 428-1393. I would like to welcome to the program Rob DeWalt. He is with the Pasa Tiempo, Friday Arts Magazine in the Santa Fe, New Mexican. He's with us just about every Friday speaking of the arts. Welcome. Herzlich willkommen.
Good morning.
Good morning. And Diane Karp is here. She's the executive director of the Santa Fe Art Institute. Great to have you back.
It is such a pleasure to be back in Santa Fe. Can't begin to tell you.
So we are not only giving our listeners the opportunity to keep public radio on the air for another 6 months, which is how these things work, but we are also giving the opportunity to do two marvelous separate things. One is to go to lunch at the Zia Diner with me and Rob DeWalt.
Yay. Awesome.
Yes. That awesome. If you make a donation of a certain size, they can tell you on the phone, to KSFR, then
it has to be larger than 4 inches wide and taller than a quarter of an inch.
It's bigger than a bread box.
Yes.
It can be smaller than a bread box.
Okay. But it's bigger than an iPhone.
Yes.
Yes.
And let's see. It's animal, mineral,
and vegetable.
Absolutely.
428-1393 is the number. And the other thing, you've got some excellent news, Diane Karp.
I do. I have lots of wonderful news. On November 9th, we're bringing Bill McKibben. And for those of you who don't know who Bill McKibben is, Bill McKibben is one of the exemplars of what a great American is and what a great American does. Bill came out of a very sort of ordinary American childhood, went off to Harvard. He was the editor-in-chief of the Crimson. I mean, this was a smart boy. And he went off and he became a journalist. And he...
A journalist?
A
Why?
Journalist.
What's his problem?
No. And he wrote amazing journalism until there was a shakeup at the, and we're going to leave it out, the institution that he was writing for. And they sort of fired a lot of the upper administration because the administration was driving for, participatory democracy. Mm-hmm. What a strange idea. And having the journalist be an independent thinker. Sounds a little like KSFR, doesn't it?
It does a little bit
anyway,
like KSFR.
Anyway, this young man who had all of the opportunity ahead of him resigned because he felt that if they couldn't support those ideals, he didn't want to work for them. And he moved off to
a major metropolitan newspaper?
Yeah. Well, moved off to a mountaintop in Vermont, you know, in and amidst writing 12 different books, the first of which was published in 89, is credited as being the first book on climate change that was written in a way that was thoughtful and accessible to the general public.
Yeah.
And it was called The End of Nature. And it began to stimulate people to stop and think about what we were doing to the environment. Lots of amazing books about living in nature, and he did this fabulous book where he recorded one full day of what came across his TV set somewhere in Virginia, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, that's right.
And he recorded and spent the next year carefully analyzing every single second of that year of TV, corporate TV, not independent public TV, and did an analysis of it that is so stunning and so frightening. And this was done long before we were all noticing the consolidation of the media.
Right.
And so here was this cry in what turned out to be not a very engaged society. We let it go by. So Bill McKibben has, and it's a book that colleges are now using to help educate their young people to be media literate.
And what were some of the analyses in this book? By the way, I want to keep giving the number 428 1393 to make a donation to KSFR. And you can actually, what we're leaning toward here is you can get tickets to Bill McKibben.
Yes. And so I'm going to stop talking about Bill McKibben other than to say 350.org.
Yes. No. But in this book where he analyzed a year's worth
you
of
have,
TV.
You actually have to go and read through it. It's stunning because what you find out is that most of the time they're selling stuff. They're not really talking to their audience. They're not really engaging their audience. They're selling stuff.
Right.
And, you know, that whole construct that we lost our footing as an engaged participatory democracy when we stopped educating our citizens and started creating consumers. This book essentially is driven in that, drives that analysis.
So when is Bill McKibben going to be in Santa Fe, and how can our dear listeners who have gotten us 1/20th of the way to our $2,000 goal so far.
And we are and all media literate, by the way.
Yes, they are.
Right. And we're going to help a little bit on that before I leave as well. Bill McKibben is coming. He will be speaking on Wednesday night, the 9th of November, at the Lensic. And after that, there's going to be a dinner where folks can come and they can meet Bill and spend the evening chatting with him. It'll be an informal dinner. It's not going to be fancy-dancy with all kinds of cutlery that you don't know what to do with or know which order to use. It's really going to be an opportunity for the community to have a chance to talk with Bill. He's going to be speaking. We're going to also be highlighting some of the cultural community's engagement with environmental issues. One of the things that we believe deeply, and Bill does as well, is that the arts remain probably the most participatory democratic landscape left in the United States, where anyone who wants to engage, bring an idea, get creative, can do so. And it's that sort of bastion of engagement that the Art Institute has been supporting for the last, actually, 25 years now. So if people would like to have a pair of tickets. We have three pairs of tickets that we're donating to KSFR so that six people can go off to hear Bill. And if someone would like to donate money, they will be in a position to not only meet Bill and have the opportunity to hear him speak. He's one of the most inspiring speakers I have ever heard.
Yeah.
He's smart, he's accessible, he's thoughtful, he's humane, he's witty, he's wonderful.
The number is 428-1393, 428-1393. You can get a ticket. I think the phones are a little quiet right now, so let's get them ringing. The last day of the KSFR Fun Drive. And we also call it the Fun Drive.
It is a fun drive.
Because it's fun.
Well, one of the things that you guys have not been talking about all week, and believe me, I've been listening all week, is that one of the services the KSFR provides to Santa Fe is a connection and a partnership with all of the various cultural organizations in town who do amazing work, whether it's work with the youth or whether it's bringing in really brilliant and talented and you know, fabulous practitioners, or whether it's focusing on the brilliant and talented practitioners that we have right here in town. All of those cultural organizations have the great benefit of Rob DeWalt and Mary Charlotte Friday mornings helping people to focus on the richness and sort of cut through a lot of the reading and the sorting that you would have to do if you didn't have these amazing people to say, you know what's a great film, or you know what's an amazing action that's going on, or you ought to check out this gallery. You guys are just fabulous, and you give voice to the creative geniuses that we have here in town and the ones that come to visit.
428-1393. Couldn't say it any better than Diane Karp. Diane, you're amazing. And we thank you for donating these three pairs of tickets, because this is your big fundraiser of the year.
This is our major fundraiser
of the year. So that's three tickets out of your pocket.
Six tickets.
Six tickets out of your pocket into the hands of our gentle listeners, 428-1393. So You are one of the most loyal KSFR listeners of all time.
I know. I'm about to do another thing. I'm going to make a challenge.
Oh, good. A challenge.
Yes. If you can raise $250 within the hour.
What do you mean $250?
Immediately.
We're going for $2,000.
Oh, you're going for $2,000.
Yes.
If you can raise the $2,000, I will donate a quarter of that.
No.
Yeah.
Yes, I meant yes.
Yes.
But you have to make the 2,000
first. But you have
first.
To make the 2,000 first.
Oh, okay. 4281.
That 2,000 will turn into 2,500 on the spot.
Amazing. Thank you, Diane Karp. Increíble. 4281393 is the number. So let's get those phones ringing and meet the Diane Karp Challenge. Santa Fe Art Institute being one of the most vibrant and community engaged arts organizations in the community. They kind of embody that. Think globally, act locally and globally, and motto, and they're doing it. They are working with young people. They're hiring young people. They're engaged in the schools. They've got some of the best artists. They're engaged in the environmental movement. They did this whole project with the Santa Fe River, which was beautiful.
Which was actually part of a 350.org challenge.
Right.
And, you know, one of the things that Bill seems to be able to do is to mobilize globally and get artists and communities to come together and actually make work that has a resonance and a life that lives on beyond.
Mobilize, globalize.
Mobilize, globalize. That's the only kind of good globalization. We're actually starting to plan another action, and this year's action is going to focus on our energy sources. So we're going to do a big community art action. It'll probably end up being in the spring. But everybody should start putting their thinking caps on, because we'd like to figure out a way to bring to the public with clarity and engagement the ideas of what we could do instead of burning coal.
My main energy source is bacon.
Bacon.
Coffee.
Right.
Chocolate.
But no, seriously. Yes. Solar.
The three food groups. Yeah. And solar, wind, water, all of them are here. Well, water, not so much.
Water, not so much.
Geothermal.
Geothermal. The water is under the ground.
We could put a mini hydroelectric plant on the Acequia.
4281393. Yeah. All of those ideas, you know, it's kind of amazing. You put a bunch of smart community members and some artists and writers together, and they think in a way that has nothing to do with linear thinking or what we would assume to be associated with normal. They start thinking and talking together, and the most amazing ideas surface. And sometimes they feel a little crazy, but the more you think about them, it's good crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think one of the most moving projects that I've seen in a long time was the 9/11 project that you guys did recently, the hip-hop project. I thought, what a way to engage folks in approaching something that, for a lot of people, there's still some tender wounds. But a way to approach it to not necessarily forget, but to move in a direction of positivity, to move in a direction of being able to ask questions about not only how you feel you're being treated as a person, but how you feel you're being treated as a country. And I'm so sorry that I wasn't in town for any of it.
It was amazing. And it was one of those situations where we see ourselves as a community-based art center.
Yeah.
So invariably, we just put some ideas out there and then let the community build on it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what happened. We had the youth radio, youth media project involved, and we had people reading from a new book by Daniel Banks called Say Word.
Say Word.
And we had several young people performing plays that they had written, directed, and acted about 9/11 and the residue. We had some videos that were amazing. One video that was created by a young man, it is called Day Two.
Mm-hmm.
And it was his second day in kindergarten in a public school down in Lower Manhattan. And it revisits the events of 9/11 from the perspective of 5 and 6 and 7 year olds. That is, it was such a revelation to me, because, you know, we think of these events, we think of politics, we think of history, always from the position of adults or mm-hmm. governments. And it was such a remarkable insight. And then we had a video that was made by Monica Bravo. And Monica was part of the World Trade Towers studio program, the Lower Manhattan Council studio program. And that night before, on September 10th, there was a horrible, violent, beautiful rainstorm with lightning and thunder and just an extraordinary storm, which is why on the 11th it was so clear. And Monica spent the night recording the film, and then around 2 o'clock in the morning left the one artist who died in the building, Michael, in the studio. And she went home and she created a video from that film footage that's an honor and a mm-hmm. memorial to Michael. And as it turns out, Monica is actually here this weekend.
Yes.
She's doing a workshop on creativity and using visual cues to touch and find your creative center. And she's going to give a talk on Monday night.
428-1393, 428-1393 is the number. Make a contribution to KSFR. Make it now. We're going for a $2,000 goal. We got there yesterday. We exceeded our $1,500 goal. So 428-1393 is the number. Rob DeWalt.
Yes.
What's your take on on the beauty and glory that is KSFR?
Well, first I want to say why I like to do this show.
Speaking of the arts, and then some.
Well, I listen to, you know, I live 30 minutes out of town, so I listen to this show every morning when I go to work, and it's funny to see how first of all, you know, how much I admire you as an interviewer, but also, let's just say that great minds think alike.
But
Pasatiempo may cover some things that you cover on your radio show, but the difference is that you get different perspectives, you get different angles, and
that's a nice thing.
I would say with certainty, because of the years that I spent in the radio business when I was in college, that you don't get that in corporate radio.
No.
You don't get that. You get talking points.
Yeah.
You don't get the kind of cultural coverage that you get at KSFR. And, you know, I mean, I don't know if people are aware of this, but I do this because I love to do it. I don't get paid to do it. No one is forcing me to do it. I come in every Friday morning because I really believe in what this radio station does, and that is it's a community builder, you know? Whether we're talking about, and Diane, you know, touched on the cultural qualifications of having community radio, but one of the other things that I really like is that even the animals get a fighting chance.
They do.
You know? I missed the second half of Cats versus Dogs. Who won?
Dogs.
Of course.
No, not of course. Cats have won many times.
Well, we're in a dog age.
Yeah, I think the...
The age of dog.
The loyalty, loving, and community sense of dogs is coming forward.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to do the cats versus dogs because people are going to call.
Yeah.
Cat people are going to call in and be mad.
Wow.
428-1393 is the number. No, Rob DeWalt, I want to say explicitly that having you on, we've done a Pasatiempo segment for the last, I think, 7 years. First with Robert Knott, and now with you for. What a good year now.
A good year, yeah.
A great year.
It's a wonderful addition to the community because there's so many things that I'm not able to cover because I've got, well, 4.5 hours a week, a little less than that. We're on 5 days a week, but we've got news headlines, so my show is about 50 minutes, and I cannot cover as much as one can cover even in the Pasatiempo. You can have, 25 articles and lots of smaller listings and then the listings in the back. And so when there's somebody whose work I can't cover, then we put them on Speaking of the Arts. And guess what? When people have a listing on Speaking of the Arts as well as in the Pasatiempo, the public is more likely to show up.
Mm-hmm. No, it's true.
But it's not just that they're more likely to show up. It's that they have a broadened way of knowing what it is that is available to them. Mm-hmm. So it works both ways. And that's the point with public radio. It is this sort of two-way system. You're not being talked at. Mm-hmm. You literally are in sort of involved.
It's true.
It's your radio station.
Yeah.
And I think there's something about being in a fairly small state. I mean, it's not like we're in metropolitan San Francisco or something where there's just tens of millions of people who might be listening. We do seem to have just as much going on in some areas. There's not a friend of mine just got back from San Francisco, and there is Cuban salsa every night of the week in San Francisco. Not just salsa, but Cuban salsa. I'm just saying.
All right. So we can work on that.
But what I'm saying is that this state is so small, and northern New Mexico is so small, that people get to know each other. And one of the ways that we build community and actually get to know each other, I can't tell you how many hundreds, thousands of people have come into the cafe over the 8 years that I've been doing this show, had a conversation. That conversation leads to a radio show, or it leads to some other fruitful thing. I send them to the New Mexican, whatever. Mm-hmm. There is all kinds of, what would you call it, cross-pollination.
Yes.
That happens as a result of community radio, and that is invaluable. The value of that is inestimable. And yet we do put a value on it, and for today, that value is $2,000 for this hour.
Absolutely.
Which comes out to $2,500.
Yes,
because of the kind challenge of Diane Karp, who is sitting here with us, 428-1393. We are soon going to have a report from the control room. I'm not sure exactly what's going on there, but Mary Lynn LeBlanc will break in just a moment when we have some thank yous.
They have done some interesting medical studies that, just like having a dog as a companion is good for your health, they have discovered that giving, even if it's a small gesture, even if it's a small amount of money, really is a health-enhancing activity.
Mm-hmm.
Because you feel as though you're making a difference. And every person who can hear our voices should want to feel better. And the best way to do that right now is to call in and make a donation. Donate the price of the cup of coffee you'd buy today, or the lunch you'd buy today, or the dinner that you might have this weekend.
And you can make it a monthly contribution.
Absolutely.
So let's say
once a month,
the price
coffee.
Of a couple of coffees times 12, and you just have it withdrawn once a month from your credit card. And it's a wonderful way to give to KSFR. And it's a really, those we call them sustaining memberships. Those mm-hmm. sustaining memberships, they keep organizations afloat, truly.
Absolutely, because the organization can anticipate income rather than worrying about having these fundraisers as the only way of connecting with the community.
Absolutely.
The phone is ringing, ladies and gentlemen. Let's keep it ringing. Let's keep it ringing hard, hot, and fast.
That sounds nasty.
In a good way.
Yes.
428-1393 is the number. And Mary Lynn, I guess the phones are so busy that Mary Lynn has gone from the control room and is answering the telephone.
Oh, good.
She's calling.
Yeah. Doesn't even have enough time to talk to us.
She doesn't even have
She's
enough
so
time
busy.
To talk to us. Yeah, you know.
Yeah. Let's
that
keep
happens.
It that
don't,
way.
Don't get smug out there. We haven't hit our...
We have not hit our goal.
No.
Our goal.
We're not even
we
quite halfway there, but we're getting a lot of contributions.
We need right. every single one of you. You know, just think about waking up in the morning and wanting to find out what's happening in the world and being forced to listen to Clear Channel. I mean, stop and think about it. You want to have some sense of a reflection of your community, a reflection of the realities, and not the kinds of information that are bought and sold.
Yeah. I mean, here's a great example. We got here this morning, and Mary Charlotte was setting up her decks, whatever she calls her layout
mixer.
Here. Her mixer. DJ Mary C, what's happening? And a gentleman came up and said, and made a suggestion about something that might be a good topic for the show. You know,
and a very good suggestion.
A very good suggestion
that
has to do with nonprofits. And I don't really think a lot of people that are listening to some of the larger corporate radio stations feel compelled to call up and say, you know, it would be a great way to help your community. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
They call up and they say, I want to hear that song about, you know.
About, well, the gal who done me wrong.
Yeah, with the truck and the shotgun and the dog.
And roller skating in the birdcage.
Or the cat.
Nothing wrong with country music.
No, we
love
it.
Absolutely not. I love country music.
What do you get when you play country music backwards?
I don't know.
Your wife comes back. Your dog's alive. You get out of prison and it don't rain no more.
And your truck works.
And the truck works.
That's right.
All four tires.
I drive a truck, so I'm not making fun of truck drivers.
No, my God, we're definitely not making fun of truck drivers. We're not making fun of everyone. Or we are making fun of everyone.
Yeah.
Just a little.
Just a little.
Just to keep us humble.
I'm a redneck. I'm a redneck.
So. No, you're not.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I cut my own wood.
That's not how we define rednecks.
Well, you know, I listen to country music. And
I like country music, too.
And I think the thing is, and this is something that I've thought about a lot and that I think is very important, is that we don't have to define ourselves as one thing. And I think when you live in a big urban area and you do a certain kind of job, there's a lot of people who want to put you in a niche. He's a journalist, or she's a dancer, or he's a body worker, or whatever, or he's an insurance salesman, and that defines who you are. And I think in Santa Fe, something that I've noticed, which is different from other places that I've lived in my life, is that our identity is really spread out over a lot of things. We have some people have an enjoyment of spirituality, and they're real estate salespeople, and they take dancing classes, and they cook, and you know, do dog rescue, and all of these things. We have all multiple identities, and I feel like
we're all multiple identities.
Well, we
maybe
do.
True.
I don't mean what's that?
No.
Oh, multiple personality disorder.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I feel like I try to do this show in a way that represents the multiple faces of this community, and I mean, I love atheists and I love priests, and they don't necessarily agree with each other, but I think they represent the different faces of this community, and frankly, they represent different facets of ourselves. Sometimes we are believers and sometimes we're not, just as an example.
Yeah. But the contrast is that most of the corporate media are formulaic. Everything has to fit into a certain form and flow it a certain way, and it has a certain slant or a certain bias. And we all come to know which of these media represent which slant and bias. Mm-hmm. The thing that's so extraordinary about KSFR is you can hear literally every position. If you listened all week long, and especially because a lot of you probably do listen on and off all week long, you know that. And that's the reality of open media. That's where the voices of the community are equally accessed and made accessible to the community. You can hear on the radio both the challenges of the people you don't agree with and all of those melodious voices of the people you do.
And
so
if Bill McKibben would do an analysis of 1 week of KSFR.
Yes.
And write a book about it.
Everyone's got to call in to 428-1393 and make a donation to keep that open, accessible, unbiased radio coming through to your house every day.
Let's get a report from the control room.
Yeah, you know, they are calling. I'm like out of breath from running back and forth.
Yay.
Let's see. Where do I start? Michelle Childs. You know her.
Thank you.
She is the deputy director of the Santa Fe Art Institute.
Yay.
Go, Michelle.
Yes, and Amy Bianco.
Thank you.
Latifa challenges all body workers to call in.
Yay.
And Avery Anderson.
Thank you.
Beth Teal.
Yay.
Anna MacArthur.
Wonderful.
Irene Hoffman, who's the director of Site Santa
Woo-hoo!
Fe.
Yay!
Chrissy Orr, who loves you, and Diane.
And
Mary
who
Charlotte.
Is a great community
a
environmental
artist.
And Dana Levin.
Thank
a great
you.
Poet.
Andy Tuck.
A great photographer.
Got more. Ula Pedersen, is it?
A great dog rescuer.
A great dog
rescuer. She's a kindred spirit.
Yeah. Yep.
Animal sanctuary, right?
Yep.
And Sharon Franco says hello to all, and Sharon will not reveal any of Rob DeWalt's secrets. I wonder why. I think she said she does that T-E-A-C-H-I-N-G. And
she's a great teacher. Yes.
She is a fabulous teacher.
She was my teacher. She was a teacher of mine at Santa Fe Preparatory School many years
ago. So this is where the secrets could be revealed.
Yes. She's the reason I'm literate.
My curiosity is piqued.
Yeah. If someone will send in a large donation, we will be able to pry some of those secrets out of Sharon Franco's lips.
And I know we have one lunch with you, Mary Charlotte, and Rob DeWalt. We have to thank Ellen Brad. I think it's Brad.
Ellen Bradbury.
Yes.
Right. Yay.
Recursos.
Yeah.
It's Ed Reed's wife, I believe.
Oh.
Yes, right. Beth and Ted Jones, and they want to thank you, Mary Charlotte, for your email, and that they did the collected stories, I believe, an excellent. I'm not sure of the interview here. There was all these notes, and there's more phone calls coming, so just thank you. That's it.
428-1393. Thank you for the flurry of phone calls. Let's keep Mary Lynn so busy that she doesn't even know what to do with herself.
Yes, let's leave her breathless.
I mean, we all need to work out. And if that workout means running between the phone room and the control room, so be it.
So be it. Amen.
That's the way we roll.
428-1393 is the number. Now, the Pasatiempo, I am in awe of how productive you are and how productive that magazine is. Every week, you print dozens of articles and shorter pieces about the arts and about the cultural community in Santa Fe and environs. Mm-hmm. I mean, when do you sleep?
That's an interesting question.
They don't.
There's time for sleep. I mean, I think one of the things that I made a pledge to do myself in January was to spend more time actually going to the events that I cover. And sometimes it can be difficult because we are very busy people, you know. But we do it because we love it. We absolutely love what we do.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, just like in any other job and at any other magazine or any other newspaper, things can get stressful, especially during these trying economic times where, you know, people might be spread a little bit thin. But you know, I think it's a testament to how much we really care about what we put out. And how we do it, I don't know. We all sit there on Thursday after we, you know, send the pages off to the press and go, How do we do this?
Every week on Thursday, you sit there and go, how do we do that?
Yeah.
And then do you celebrate with champagne and pizza or something?
No. I did last night with my godkids, but that wasn't a staff party. That was just me and the family. But no, I mean that's.
That was sparkling apple cider.
Well, the kids didn't have champagne. No. They're too young for that. Maybe if we lived in France, but not here. But it's, you know, it's a labor of, it's definitely a labor of love. There's so many, people that from so many different, that have such different backgrounds that's like you talked about, you get a cross pollination of, I mean, in this particular issue, we have, lots of, science crossover. We have, you know, there's a story about, model trains. Interactive exhibits and art and poetry and books and it's just a labor of love. It's kind of like you and your show. You know, there are some days when you're like, oh my God, you know.
There are many days where I go home and say, I have earned my salary today. Thank you very much.
I think that must be every day.
Exactly.
428-1393. I would like to say that we have passed our halfway mark.
Yes.
So we were well on the way to our $2,000 goal. 428-1393. Everybody call and drive Mary Lynn just wild.
Yes.
But we've come up with a new idea. You know, we offer these workshops for the community, and we have to pay the artist to bring them, you know, into the Art Institute and buy all the materials and stuff. And it suddenly dawned on us that barter was an essential way to go. Mm-hmm. So we decided that anyone who wanted to take a workshop ought to be able to take a workshop. And even if they are down to, I've got $10, we figure out a way that we can trade so that they can do some photography or come in and do a little filing. It's certainly not an equal trade, I think, in every sense of the word. But the idea is if we're going to, as a community, want to help each other, we have to help each other in a way that works. And so the idea of trade or barter is beginning to infiltrate the cultural community in a way that is just like it used to be back in the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
And it's wonderful. It just feels great.
Yeah. I mean, I think ever since the economies were tanked in 2008, you know, the amount of collaboration between nonprofits, between arts organizations has skyrocketed. And for some, it's a matter of survival. And for all of them, it's a matter of expanding what you can do.
Yes, and you know? Expanding your reach. And that's the kind of collaboration that's always gone on between the Pasa Tiempo and KSFR mm-hmm. and the organizations in town.
Right.
And it's probably one of the things that makes Santa Fe most wonderful
yeah.
as a place to live.
And it's a reflection of how much we, Mary Charlotte, Pasa Tiempo, KSFR, depend on the community, not only for to keep us afloat, but for in the gathering of information. You know, we get so much email. We don't have time to go out necessarily and probe every corner of Santa Fe to figure out what's happening. And so we rely a lot on the community to let us know what's happening.
But the community also knows that with both of your organizations, you will hear them, mm-hmm. and you will respond, and it matters.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you could probably send all the emails you wanted to most of the media in New York City, and you would, I would venture a bet, you would not get an answer.
Yeah.
And not only do you get an answer, but someone says, that's really interesting, I'd like to come and talk to you about it.
Mm-hmm.
So that, that's exactly what I meant, that sort of synergy, that interconnectivity, that supports and nourishes all of Santa Fe, including the audience.
428-1393. You know what? It just occurred to me.
What?
We're doing Speaking of the Arts, and we haven't really spoken of the arts.
We haven't really been speaking of the arts.
Let's go Speak of the Arts.
Let's go Speak of the Arts.
All right.
Okay.
Okay.
Let's start.
Let's start.
All right. First, I want to mention a great local fellow by the name of James Reich, who's in a band that many people might know called Venus Bogardus. And he's also an author, and he has a book coming out in a few days called I, Judas on Soft Skull Press. And there is a sort of a signing at 6 p.m. on Wednesday, October 12th, at Collected Works Bookstore.
Excellent.
And this book is, this is a challenging read, especially for somebody like me who grew up, sometimes being dragged kicking and screaming to Sunday services at church and whatnot. But the book is called I, Judas, and it's
heavy duty. I didn't get a chance to interview him on the air, but
yeah, I want to sit down and just have a beer with him and talk about this book, because it's sort of a what if story about a Judas and the motivation behind his ultimate betrayal, and the sort of, if you want to call it, the spirit or the soul of Judas inhabits John F. Kennedy and Ian Curtis from Joy Division and all these different people in a way that tells a story that's much deeper than, let's call it, what you would assume would be the biblical story of Judas and his betrayal. Really challenging, but really great read. And he's going to be signing the book at 6 p.m. on Wednesday, October 12th at Collective Works Bookstore.
And Earl James, another local author, is going to be presenting his book, Bella Coola, The Rainforest Brought Them Home.
Yes.
And from Kentucky, from the British Columbia Rainforest to the hills of Kentucky, the waters of the Rio Grande, and the power centers of New York, Washington, and Rome, Bella Coola, The Rainforest Brought Home, probes the spiritual fault lines of our civilization in crisis. And he is going to be speaking at Garcia Street Books on Saturday, that's tomorrow, at 2 in the afternoon. So that should be a very interesting conversation with Earl James as well. And you can go to earldjames.com for more information.
Sweet. Hey, have you ever been to one of these Cook with the Chef things that they do?
No.
Over down at the Thursday Santa Fe Farmers Markets?
Uh-uh.
If I can find it, I'm going to tell you all about it.
Meanwhile,
yes.
I will tell you that David Geist is going to be playing at the Geist Cabaret at Pronzo, and he is there every Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And on Thursdays, he's having special guests like next Thursday of next week, Julie Trujillo and J.J. Frank. And the other days, he is just playing piano and singing and entertaining people like nobody's business.
Speaking of piano, I want to mention to everyone, Charles Tischner, who was a longtime entertainer and pianist over at Vanessi, is not there anymore. But you can catch Charles at the Rainbow Visions Silver Starlight Lounge.
And, oh, cool.
And the days that he performs are listed in the Passatiempo calendar every single week. So, I mean, Charles, fixture at Vanessi for many, many years. Has moved to a different location, but he's still a great performer.
He is indeed.
Yeah.
428-1393. We're almost at $1,500 out of our $2,000 goal. Mom. So
keep
we are so getting
coming.
There.
You yep. can do it.
We can do it.
Okay.
I know we can do it.
I found. I've. Go oh, ahead. Yeah. No. 428-1393.
Yay.
428-1393.
How about Heidi Lowen Porcelain Gallery?
Ooh, are they having an opening?
They're having an opening tonight from 5 to 7:30. Featuring Sarah Catherine Ebbingtide Upward Motion and these very water-like sea-inspired ceramics at the Heidi Lowen Porcelain Gallery at 315 Johnson Street here in Santa Fe.
Tons of openings tonight. Lots
and
of openings. I mean,
first Friday.
First Friday.
Oh, and, yeah. And tons of thank yous, if I can
yes, please break
interrupt.
In.
I'm sorry.
No.
Alice Tinkle.
Yay.
And Ben Swan, who was donating yeah. again because he wanted to make sure that some, the felines, even though it's not Felines Day, got some votes.
He's voting for cats 2 days late.
Yeah.
Isn't that right. just like a cat?
And then Mary and Jim, Mary Parseca and Jim's Beverwick. They're from the Velarde, and you know them, Mary Charlotte.
Oh, nice.
And let's see. Wieselin still, I'm not sure. She's waiting for chocolate chips. Does this ring a bell, Mary Charlotte?
Anybody who wants chocolate chip cookies has to write to me at radiocafe at KSFR.org. I'm serious. If you don't write to me at radiocafe at KSFR.org, I can't put you on the cookie list, but I'm going to be baking this weekend.
You hear that, everybody? Ooh. Everybody in Santa Fe.
Yes, okay. you better buy a big bag of flour.
And one more huge thanks. This comes through James Morris, who says he's contributing because you support so many writers and readers in Santa Fe, and he's contributing because of their support for your show as well.
Thank you. And he wrote that wonderful biography about Pulitzer, an amazing person and great writer. Thank you all so much for your contributions. Let's get to our $2,000 goal for this hour, 428-1393. What else has happened?
Oh, I found what I wanted to speak about, and that is the Cook with the Chef program, which is presented by the Santa Fe Alliance Thursdays at the Santa Fe Farmers Market. They're sort of coming to the end of this sort of season of Cook with the Chef programs, and they're having what's called a Cook with the Chef showdown from 5:30 to 7 p.m. on October 13th, a Thursday, at the Farmers Market in the rail yard. And basically, they've got George Gundry, who's the owner of Atrisco Cafe and Bar, and Patrick Lambert, who is a chef and co-owner of Cowgirl Barbecue. And they are going head-to-head for bragging rights. And basically, the deal is that they have to use local ingredients in the preparation of an appetizer. And this year, it is called the Local Chili and Yak App Attack, which is basically they have to create an appetizer using New Mexico chili and Taos Mountain yak meat.
Good heavens.
And one secret ingredient chosen by the chefs, who are Matthew Hollum of Il Piatto, a great supporter of the Santa Fe Alliance and the Farmers Market, and Chef Rocky Durham, who everybody knows. He used to work at Santa Cafe, and then he was at the Santa Fe School of Cooking, and now he's sort of, well, he's everywhere. And then, of course, me. And we are going to be selecting a third secret ingredient before the competition that these folks are going to have to use. And it will be chosen from the market that is happening that day, the October 13th, in the rail yard. So I encourage people to go down. The farmer's market itself is from 4 to 7 p.m. on October 13th. Bring your cloth bags, come down and buy a bunch of stuff. And check this thing out because it's free and it's a, you know.
That's excellent. Now, here's another one. Thirsty Brush and Warehouse 21 present Two Rooms, a play by Lee Blessing and directed by Frederica Johnson. And Matt Sanford is in it. And My window just went away on my computer. It's at Warehouse 21, opening tonight at 7 o'clock, tonight, tomorrow at 7, and Sunday at 2, and then next weekend as well. And it should be a very interesting play. I think it's about a man who's kidnapped, mm-hmm. and the wife is trying to get him back. And I think it's take place in Beirut. Do you know about this play?
I don't know if it takes place in Beirut.
Anyway, I'm gonna have them on the air next week, but it looks like a terrific play, Warehouse 21, and check it out.
Yeah, we have the phones are quiet right now, and I think we have about less than $300 to go to reach your goal for the day.
Okay, let's do it.
Let's do it.
We can do it.
That's because Diane Karp is going to give an extra $500.
Go team!
We've done it.
If we reach 2,000.
Oh my. Okay. Well, let me quickly thank William Perney.
Thank you.
Teresa Ferraro.
Yay.
Thank you.
And we have a contribution made from Manos Milagrosas, which is a massage body work.
Excellent.
The body workers are stepping up.
The body workers
artists,
are
poets, writers,
up.
Body workers. Go Santa Fe.
Love it. 428-1393 is the number. We've got just a little bit, about 5 minutes left. To speak a little bit more of the arts.
Well, you mentioned Beirut, but this is a different kind of Beirut. This is Beirut the Band, led by singer-songwriter Zach Condon, who is a Santa Fe boy, Warehouse 21 boy, all grown up, and he and his band are sort of blowing up all over the place.
And blowing up?
Blowing up, in a good way, in a good way. And Beirut is performing at the Santa Fe Community Convention Center tonight. Condon's career, I've been following it ever since he left town, really. very amazing. They have a new album out. They have a song on it called Santa Fe. He does a soundtrack with Bob Dylan for a film that is going to be screened at the Santa Fe Independent Film Festival in about a week called Bombay Beach, which is an amazing documentary that you'll read more about in the October 21st issue of Pasatiempo.
And I'm going to be having a lot of people from the Santa Fe Independent Film Festival and the Santa Fe Film Festival,
yes.
with any luck, on the air over the next week and a half.
Amen. Great.
And the Harvest Celebration at Salazar Elementary School, De Vargas Mariachis, ATC Marimbas, on Thursday, October 13th from 5 to 7 at Salazar Elementary, 467-3900 for more information.
What's going on in the movies?
That's what I'd like to know.
What is happening in the film? Let's see. The Leopard is opening at the CCA Cinematheque. Let's see. This is the English dub 1963 release of The Leopard. And then there's also Mysteries of Lisbon, which is opening at the Screen. And, oh gosh, there's all kinds of stuff opening.
Well, lots of movies. Check out the Pasatiempo. Check out the Screen. Check out the CCA.
And call 428-1393.
Forrest Sun and Ingrid Serban are playing. Did you say this one already?
No, I didn't.
They are tonight at 7 o'clock at the San Miguel Mission at 401 Santa Fe Trail. And they are San Francisco Bay Area troubadours. Forrest has regaled audiences around the globe with his wealth of songs and stories. All sung and told with back porch ease.
Forrest's son is a former Santa Fean.
Ah, is that right?
Yes, he is. And I wrote him about him in my Soundwaves column in the back
of
Pasatiempo.
So
today.
Good stuff, huh?
Awesome.
Very, very good stuff.
Excellent.
This guy's got a big heart and a great voice. And so does his wife.
I've heard that there's a new band that's going to be performing at the Cowgirl tonight. I don't know any more about the details. But
a new band performing at the Cowgirl tonight.
Yeah.
Well, while you look that up, I'll talk about the 4th Annual New Mexico Women Authors Book Festival. And there's all sorts of stuff going on at the New Mexico History Museum, the Palaces of the Governors, and all kinds of places. But they did not contact me this year. So I don't have the schedule, and I don't know what.
But I'll bet you can contact them.
You can contact them. You can go to museumfoundation.org/events. And Dana Levin will be reading today from 7 to 7:30.
Perfect.
The Worms and the Gods, Death, Art, and Dream.
And if I'm not mistaken, Laura Stewart, who used to be the director of Site Santa Fe, is giving a talk out at St. John's. I think it's tonight.
Is that right?
I think so.
Excellent.
And I need to make a correction. I said Monica Bravo was going to be giving a talk on Monday night. It's Tuesday night.
Tuesday night.
At Tipton Hall. And she's running her workshop, which still has one space open.
One space
on
open.
Creativity.
Yeah. We can't forget about our friends in El Dorado. The Jen Chapin Trio. This is the daughter of the great Harry Chapin.
Is it?
And the Jen Chapin Trio is described as urban folk, but it's some of the most interesting music, and she has an amazing voice, and she's such a studied musician and performer. And they're going to be out at the La Tienda Performance Space, which used to be the Santa Fe Performance Exchange.
Excellent.
And I believe that the Performance Exchange is actually presenting this out there in El Dorado, and that's Saturday. At 7:30 p.m., and you can go to call 466-3116 or go to brownpapertickets.com.
And one more quickie, Sunday, October 9th from 6 to 7, improv comedy at Warehouse 21. It's free, and I got that from Barbara Mayfield and the Stark Raving Beauties.
Oh, boy. Listen, you know, we've got some people on the lines right now, so we do have more people to thank, but I wanted to thank Agnes, your mom.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks, Agnes.
And Lori Taras, whom you've interviewed, and Yay. She really appreciates what you've done for her organization. And Sloan Cunningham, who's also voting for cats 2 days late.
She's a great animal rescuer, too.
And people say that, you know, Mary Charlotte, they are so grateful for you and for KSFR being on the air, and we are well over your goal for the day.
Yay! Yay, Diane Karp, yay,
Rob DeWalt. Thank you, everybody.
Yay, Mary Charlotte DeMonde, yay, KSFR,
yay,
and
Mary
all
Lynn
of
LeBlanc.
Those people out there that are helping to make it work.
4281393, so that means we've passed $2,500, which means we've had a very good week, which means we've had a very good fun drive. Thank you all so very, very much. Roll the theme music.
Can you do that? Can you cue it like that?
Sure.
She's cueing it right there.
That's power.
Thanks, Mary Lynn.
That is power.
You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're streaming live on the web at ksfr.org, podcasting at santaferadiocafe.org, thanks to Dot Foil Computer Services. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes. You can find us at facebook.com/radiocafe. My email address is radiocafe@ksfr.org, where you can write me about cookies. Stay tuned for the BBC, followed by local news by KSFR's award-winning news team. After that, Jazz a la Carta. Thanks to everybody who's volunteering for the fun drive. Thanks to the wonderful Mary Lynn LeBlanc. Thanks to the other incredible staff members at KSFR. And check out my website, because I've been changing it a little bit. I'm going to have my revamped website up soon, but I've been putting pictures on it. So if you want to see the fabulous